as an outspite for the state insistence we have in this session to consider the character of Esther. Esther was a young Jewish maid who became queen upon the throne of one of the most powerful monarchs in his history, that of a house of Rivers or Desirous, his Taspis, who reigned for 36 years over 120 provinces from India to Ethiopia. At the time in history, we believe between the 5th and the 6th book of Esther, approximately the year BC 521. Brother Mansfield, in his book, The Story of the Bible, states that such names as Darius, Ahasuerus, and Artaxerxes, which the Persian kings used, were titles rather than personal names. In fact, he says, several kings used these titles, and the kings of Persia often used more than one such title, as in the book of Ezra, Nehemiah, and in the book of Esther, of which we just speak upon. Each relate to the same person. As we consider, then, this book of Esther, we find Yahweh Noah Elohim is once named within the pages. For typically it is said that the events recorded in the book point to the time that though Yahweh's face is hidden from his people, though he is not seen as it were, he is there. He is there, as we will see in the book, overlooking his people Israel for good. For which, as it is written, we know, as it is written in the scriptures, that he that keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. That is something, brethren and sisters, that the people of this world ignore at their peril. For Yahweh does not slumber, and he does not sleep when it comes to his people Israel. The book opens then with this mighty king, ruler of 120 provinces, having overthrown many enemies, holding a great feast unto all his princes and his servants, the powers of Persia and Media, to whom he showed the riches of his glorious kingdom and the honour of his excellent majesty. Chapter 1 and verse 2. In those days when King Ahasuerus sat on the throne of his kingdom, which was in Shushan the palace, in the third year of his reign he made a feast unto all his princes and his servants, the power of Persia and Media, the nobles and princes of the provinces being before him, when he showed the riches of his glorious kingdom, the honour of his excellent majesty, many days, even 84 days. On the 7th day of this feast, when the king's heart was merry with wine, he commands his chamberlains to bring forth Vashti the queen, who at the time was holding a banquet with the women, to come before the king with a crown royal, to show unto all his people her beauty. He wished the queen to come to stand with him, to show these nobles and lords her wonderful beauty. But Queen Vashti refuses to come at her lord's request, causing great disappointment and embarrassment to the king, as we can imagine, in front of all these important guests. Here was this mighty monarch, ruler over all the known world of the day, yet seemingly before this people before him, not lord over his own house, not lord over his own house. What would his subjects think? What would his subjects think? Calling to him his wise men, the king inquired, what should be done to Queen Vashti according to the law? because she hath not performed the commandment of the king? The answer was, if it pleased the king, let there go forth a royal commandment, and let it be written among the laws of the Persians and the Medes, that it be not altered, that Vashti come no more before the king, and that her royal estate be given unto another that is better than she. Be given unto another that is better than she. So Vashti is put aside, as it were, and a new queen is to be found for the king. As we go through the book of Esther, we find that the king, Ahasuerus, was ruler, as we have seen, over 120 provinces, the known world of his day. And he typifies Yahweh, the Elohim of all the earth. Vashti, his wife, signifies beautiful. That was what her name signified, beautiful. She typified Israel of the flesh under the law, the wife of Yahweh. For Isaiah in his 54th chapter says, speaking of Israel of the flesh under the law, for thy maker is thy husband, Yahweh of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the Elohim of all the earth, shall he be called. But she refused, but on refusing to hear the appeal of her husband, Yahweh, so he might reveal her beauty to the nations, that Yahweh might reveal Israel to the nations, which would reflect to his honor and glory, was put away, and her position was taken by spiritual Israel, the future bride of Christ, whom we shall see as we continue through the book, Esther, the young Jewish maid, typified. He typified the bride of Christ. In the search for the new queen, we read, there was in Shushan the palace a certain Jew, whose name was Mordecai, who had been carried away from Jerusalem with Jehoiakim, king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away, who had brought up his uncle's daughter, Hadassah, for she had neither father nor mother. Hadassah was fair, she was beautiful, and she was obedient. She was obedient unto Mordecai, who took her for his own daughter. Hadassah, we find, signifies hidden as the bride of Christ is hidden in the world today, and reveals her as a type, as we say, of the bride of Christ hidden. Another meaning, too, of the name Hadassah is myrtle, a fragrant evergreen tree, speaking of a tree of righteousness in the salvation of her people, a true type of the ecclesia of Christ. She is called in the book Esther, which signifies star. It signifies star as one of the titles of the Lord Jesus Christ is of the star. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, the bright and morning star. Mordecai the Jew typifies the Lord Jesus Christ. He was of the tribe of Benjamin, son of my right hand. And he's shown in the book of Esther refusing to bow to Haman, an Agagite, an ancestor of the Amalekite tribe who preyed upon the weak and sickly of the children of Israel when they left Egypt, whom Yahweh commanded King Saul to destroy, but who did not. Haman's name signifies well-disposed, a representation of the seed of the serpent in all its manifestations and deformity. Haman was a crafty, revengeful, proud, wicked man. He was a high official in the court of King Ahasuerus. In the search then for the new queen, Esther, being in Shushan the palace, was of a meek and of a humble spirit, and noted for her beauty, was chosen among other young ladies to be a possible candidate for queen. In chapter 2 and verse 7 we read, she was fair of form and of a good countenance, and so with other chosen maidens was placed into the custody of Haggai, the king's chamberlain, keeper of the women, by whom Esther obtained much kindness. For here we read, give speedily to Esther such things for her purification, which such things as belong to her, and 7 maidens, which were meet to be given her out of the king's house. And Haggai, we read, changed Esther and her companions and to the best place of the house of the woman. As can be imagined, the one chosen for such a mighty king over 120 provinces, ruler over the whole known world of his day, his bride must be beautiful above all the women of the land. One who would be such as would honour the king by her beauty, her modesty, and her discretion. One who would compliment the king as Israel should have complimented Yahweh in her ways. As Israel should have done, they should have complimented Yahweh and showed forth Yahweh's glory to the nations. And we read that when he came of the turn of Esther to come in unto the king, she required nothing but what Haggai appointed. That is, she went in her beauty, her lovely character, and the result was she obtained favour in the sight of all them that looked upon her. And the king loved Esther above all the women, for she obtained favour, grace and favour in his sight, we read, more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. From what we have just read, brothers and sisters, it is obvious, is it not, that Esther's acceptance by Haggai and the king, who took her for his bride, that her beauty was not an outward, artificial beauty which comes of beauty aids, etc. Esther was not vain. She was not proud as Vashti had been before her. But Esther was one that was humble and beautiful of character. She was first and foremost obedient to her adopted father. She was obedient to her adopted father, not only when she was little, but when she was grown and had a mind of her own, she still obeyed her adopted father, Mordecai. And we remember, brothers and sisters, do we not? To obey father and mother is a commandment of Yahweh which we are given, which the bride of Christ is exhorted to display. She was noted for meekness, modesty, as we said, and discretion, as we, the brethren and sisters of Christ, are exhorted to be. Turn with me to the first epistle of Peter, and chapter 3. First Epistle of Peter in chapter 3. And verse 1. Likewise, says Peter, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation, manner of life, coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of the plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Which is in the sight of God of great price. And after this manner, in the old time, the holy woman also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and not afraid with any amazement. Speaking of discretion, brethren and sisters, the wise man in Proverbs 11 and verse 22 says, as a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman without discretion. Showing so clearly, does it not, brethren and sisters, that modesty and discretion makes one truly lovely to the beholder. The true bride of Christ, whom Esther types, and is spoken as of one with Christ, even he, who is the altogether lovely one. He is the altogether lovely one, without spot and without blemish. An exhortation for us, is it not? Esther displayed the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, temperance. So unlike, brothers and sisters, so unlike the loud and stubborn woman with the attire of an harlot, of which the wise man speaks in Proverbs. How often, brethren and sisters, have you been like myself somewhere, and we have seen a young lady, her hair all made up, her face made up, the top fashion of clothes, and all the young men admiring her. And she opens her mouth to speak, and her true character falls out. All her beauty comes to naught. All her beauty comes to naught. Without discretion, it is like gold in the snout of a swine. All the beauty comes to naught. She is not showing her character by all that of which he is blessed. As the time shows, not one of us, brothers and sisters, not one of us in our natural state, however good we might think we are fit to come before our bridegroom. We are not fit to come before our bridegroom. Our old way of life has to be destroyed. We have to walk in a new way of life. Our beauty is in Christ and in following him. Our old way must be destroyed, and we must follow in the walk of Christ, guided and purified by the word of truth. Esther was a type of the bride of Christ, as a type of the bride of Christ, was subjected to a process of purification before she would be married to the king. And so must you and I go through a process of purification before we would stand before our King. Haggai had the charge of the house of the woman, preparing the maidens, because he alone was given this job by the King. He alone had the knowledge. He had the knowledge of what the King would expect in his future bride. Haggai's name means venerable or eunuch. Haggai was a eunuch. He was a eunuch, for such were placed in charge of the woman in those days in the East. And it is a type of those who become eunuchs for the kingdom of God's sake. The Lord Jesus Christ tells those who had years to hear in the days of his ministry, there are eunuchs who were born eunuchs, and there were eunuchs who were made eunuchs of men, as no doubt Haggai was. And there be eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. And such indeed, were the apostles, were they not? The apostles taught and guided the believers in the way in which they might be found acceptable to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have to listen to their words to be purified by what they preach. The Apostle Paul said, "Would to God he would bear with me a little, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I might present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." As Haggai would present the virgins to the King, so the apostles have said, "I present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." He also says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the Ecclesia and gave his life for it, that he might sanctify it with the washing of water by the word." Esther had to go through a stage of purification, and so have we gone through a state of purification, as it were. We have to be washed. We have to be sanctified, cleansed by the word of truth to be found acceptable unto our Lord and Master. Esther obeyed the voice of Haggai. She obeyed his advice, and so she went in unto the King in all her beauty, in all her lovely character and deportment, and the attire approved by Haggai. Haggai would approve the very thing that she would wear before she would enter into the King's presence. She represents, and she went into that attire, brothers and sisters, approved by Haggai, representing the garment of white linen, the righteousness of the saints. We will not be accepted unless we wear that garment of righteousness, which should be approved by the apostles. But by doing so, she was acceptable unto the King. There were many, no doubt, who sought to enter and to meet with the King, but only Esther of them all received the crown. Just as the Apostle Paul tells you and I, many run in the race for life, but only one receives the crown. Esther then stands forth as a type of those that are obedient, those that are washed, approved by the word. What an exhortation for you and I, brothers and sisters. Should not we be asking this question ourselves? Are we being purified by the word of truth? Are we being purified and sanctified by the word of truth? Are we washing ourselves in the water of the word daily? Are we heeding the advice of Haggai, the apostles? Will our characters give us an entrance unto the King? Will we wear the linen garments of righteousness of the saints? In Revelation 19 and verse 8 we read, let us be glad and rejoice and give honour to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready, and to her was granted that she might be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. We shall not enter into the presence of the King unless we have the correct attire. Psalm 45 speaks of the King's daughter who is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. She shall be brought unto the King, says the psalmist, in raiment of needlework. The virgins, her companions that follow her, will be brought unto thee with gladness and rejoicing, we read, shall they be brought. They shall enter into the King's palace. They shall enter into the King's palace, as did Esther. The wise man in Proverbs 31 says, favour is deceitful and beauty is vain. It is said that beauty is skin deep, but a woman that feareth Yahweh, she shall be praised. She shall be praised. Esther is also shown that one who reverenced her Lord and King. That with which last time Israel under the law failed to do. What about us? What about us? Are we reverencing our Master each day? The marriage of Esther was a matter of great rejoicing throughout the known world of the day, just as the marriage of the Lord Jesus Christ with his bride shall be a wonderful day of rejoicing. We read in the narrative too of the love and the concern of Mordecai for Esther. For while she was in the court of the woman, he walked every day before the house to know how she did and what should become of her. Just as the rest of the ancestors read of the antithetical Mordecai, the Lord Jesus Christ, who in the Apocalypse we are told walks in the midst of the seven lampstands watching over the ecclesia. And we can be assured, brothers and sisters, that he will never leave us nor forsake us if we are faithful. Yes, we find that Esther was loved of the King above all the women. To find more of the character of Esther, we need to follow the narrative of the book. And we turn now to Mordecai as he sits in the gate of Shushan the palace, faithfully going about his business on behalf of the King. There is in the gate was the self-important official of the King, Haman the Amalekite, to whom all in the palace bowed to the earth as he entered. Haman, as we have said, signifies well disposed. He was typical of one who appeals to the flesh, well disposed, and we look up to those that have done well, do we not? As we all went. And has sin does in all its manifestations. But Mordecai was a devout Jew, a faithful Jew, a type of the Lord Jesus, and he refused to bow to the flesh, and bowed not when Haman came into the palace. On being made aware that Mordecai the Jew bowed not to him, Haman despised him and hated him and his entire race, and seeks a way to destroy Mordecai and his entire race out of the empire. Having thought how this evil plan would be done, he goes to the king that he might put this plan into effect. Shall we turn to Esther chapter 3 and verse 8? Esther chapter 3 and verse 8. And Haman said unto the king, Ahasuerus, there is a certain people scattered abroad, dispersed among the people in all the provinces of thy kingdom, and their laws are diverse from thy people, from all people. Neither keep they the king's laws. Therefore it is not for the king's profit to suffer them. If it please the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed, and I will pay 10,000 talents of silver into the hands of those that have the charge of the business, to bring it into the king's treasuries. And the king took off his ring from his hand, and gave it unto Haman, the son of Hammedatha the Agagite, the Jew's enemy. And the king said unto Haman, the silver is given to thee, the people also do with them as it seemeth good. Haman had lied to the king. The Jews did not refuse to keep the laws, neither did the bride of Christ refuse to keep the laws of Christ, unless it is in conflict with their God. And no doubt the king did not know who were the people whom Naaman wished to destroy, because he didn't say that it was the Jews. But he put his trust in Haman, that what he was about to do would be for the king's advantage. Haman being at that time a trusted servant of the king. As we can imagine, a great cry goes out among the Jews of the whole Persian Empire when this evil plan of Haman is known. Permission was given to all in the provinces at a certain date to kill the Jews, young and old, and to take the spoil, for the letters were sealed with the king's ring. Mordecai, on hearing of the plan, rends his clothes, puts on sackcloth and ashes, and went out into the city, and cried with a loud and bitter cry. When Esther hears of Mordecai being in this state, she sends a letter by one of her chamberlains of reason why this is so, to which Mordecai replies and gives the reason, and appeals that she goes unto the king regarding the evil that Haman had devised against the Jews. And he sent a note to her, a copy of the rewriting of the decree. Esther replies to Mordecai, there is a law that whosoever shall come in into the inner court of the king who is not called, there is one law of his to put him or to her to death, except such as whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter. And I have not been called, she says, I have not been called to come into the king these 30 days. To which Mordecai replies, if you altogether hold your peace at this time, then shall relief and deliverance come to the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house shall be destroyed, and who knows whether you will come to the kingdom at such a time as this. Mordecai realized that Esther to become a king from just a humble young lady to become queen to such a king, he realized that God's hand must be in this. He says, and who knows whether you'll come to the kingdom for such a time as this. And here we see once again Esther's beautiful character shining forth, realizing the situation and that her people were now to be destroyed. She takes her life into her own hands. She takes her life into her own hands. She enters into the court of the king to appeal for the lives of her people, saying within herself, if I perish, I perish. Esther was prepared to give her life for her friends, for her people. A type of those in the Lord Jesus Christ, as John tells us in his second epistle, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And then John goes on, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And this is what Esther was prepared to do. She was meek, she was humble, but she was not weak. She demonstrated a tremendous faith, prepared to go in unto the king, which could have meant her life. She put her trust in God and she went forth. And the king, on seeing his lovely, humble bride come forth to him, holds forth the golden scepter and asks, what is thy petition? And it should be granted unto thee unto behalf of my kingdom. We are all familiar with the book, brothers and sisters, and I find it difficult to divide the book from Esther, and that is why we're going through the book itself. Time is speeding by, but we find that Esther calls the king and Haman to the banquet that she had prepared. But for reasons unknown, although she called Cain and Haman to a banquet, she didn't at that time reveal her request. But she calls the king and Haman to another banquet. And Haman, filled with pride, typical of the flesh, goes home to tell his wife of his wonderful fortunes. He tells his wife and friends how honored he has been this day by the king and queen Esther, and he was invited to another banquet of which he had prepared. Yet he says, all this avails me nothing as long as I see that Mordecai the Jew sitting at the king's gate. To which his wife and friends say, let a gallows be built. Let a cross be built of 50 cubits high, and speak thou unto the king that Mordecai may be hung thereon. Then go thou merrily in unto the banquet. But that night, we are told, the king could not sleep. And he commanded the book of the records of the Chronicles to be brought and read to him. And it was found that Mordecai, of whom Haman wished to hang, had told of a plot by two of the king's chamberlains to kill the king. And Mordecai had saved the king's life. And so the king asks, what has been done to Mordecai for this deed? And he was told nothing had been done. The world had forgotten the deed that Mordecai did, as the world forgets the death of Christ. But God had not. God had not forgotten, hence the reason of the king's lack of sleep. God moves in a mysterious way his wonders to perform. The next morning, Haman rushing to the palace to speak unto the king to have Mordecai put to death, hanged upon the gallows he had made. But the king says to him, who's in the outer court? And they said, Haman, bring him in, he says. And before Haman had chance to put forward his petition, king said unto him, King said unto him, what shall be done to the man whom the king delighteth to honour? Now, typical of the sin in the flesh, Haman thought to himself, to whom would the king delight to honour more than myself? Whenever I read this, brothers and sisters, and I remember going once when there was a little film of Mordecai, the Mountain House meeting hall, and the kings used to boo when Haman came on and cheer when Mordecai came on. And he says, Haman thought to himself, to whom would the king delight to honour more than myself? Haman was a type of sin in the flesh, brothers and sisters. And isn't it us? Isn't it us? Who would the king like to honour more than myself? Sin in the flesh. And he said, let the royal apparel be brought which the king used to wear, the horse that the king rides upon, and put the royal crown upon his head, and let it be brought through the streets of the city, and proclaim before him, thus shall be done to the man whom the king delighteth to honour. A sure type of sin in the flesh, is it not, brothers and sisters? We can condemn Haman as much as we like, but isn't it us? Isn't it us, brothers and sisters? The king said, thus shall it be done. Not to us, not to Haman. Thus shall it be done to Mordecai the Jew. A type of the Lord Jesus Christ, to whom all honour is due. With his ego coming crashing to the ground, Haman with a heavy heart obeyed the king's commandment, for he dared not do otherwise. And he leads the man through the streets of Babylon, who by the very plan that he had devised was to be destroyed. And so the people of Babylon, we read, were perplexed. They were perplexed. Haman hurries home, very depressed, and tells his wife and friends what had happened. To which his wife and all his friends said, If Mordecai were of the seed of the Jews, before whom thou hast begun to fall, thou shalt not prevail against him, but shalt surely fall. How true, brethren and sisters, as we read through this book. What a wonderful little book it is. How true it is. The Jew has stood at the grave of so many who have sought to annihilate them. We think of Hitler, Saddam Hussein, and many more who have sought to annihilate them, and the Jew has stood at their graves. Before Haman has chance to consider the words of his wife and his friends, the chamberlains come to take him to the banquet that Esther had prepared. Shall we turn to Esther chapter 7? Esther chapter 7 and verse 3. Then Esther the queen answered and said, verse 2. And the king said again unto Esther on the second day at the banquet of wine, what is thy petition, Queen Esther? It shall be granted thee. And what is thy request? And it shall be performed even to the half of the kingdom. Then Esther the queen answered and said, if I have found favour in thy sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given me at my petition, and my people at my request. What faith she had, brethren and sisters, when we think of Moses and the Apostle Paul, who prepared to die for their people. For we are sold, she says, I and my people to be destroyed, to be slain and to perish. But if we had been sold for bondmen and bondwoman, I had held my tongue, although the enemy could not countervail the king's damage. Then the king Ahasuerus answered, and said unto Esther the queen, who is he? And where is he that dost presume in his heart so do so? Showing forth that Haman had not shown to the king that it was the Jews. And Esther said, the adversary and enemy is this wicked Haman. Then Haman was afraid before the king and the queen, and the king, arising from the banquet of wine in his wrath, went into the palace garden. And Haman stood up to make request for his life to Esther, the queen, for he saw there was evil determined against him by the king. Then the king returned out of the palace garden into the palace of banquet of wine, and Haman was fallen upon the bed wherein Esther was. Then said the king, would he force the queen also before me in the house? And the word went out of the king's mouth. They covered Haman's face, a sign that he was to die. And Abona, one of the chamberlains, said before the king, behold also the gallows 50 cubits high, which Haman had made for Mordecai, who had spoken good for the king, standeth in the house of Haman. Then said the king, hang him thereon. Haman, that type of the seed of the serpent, which sought to put to death the Lord Jesus Christ, but in doing so, encompassed his own destruction. He also foreshadows the flesh ecclesiastically manifested in the man of sin, who is to be destroyed together with his 10 sons at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. A man's pride, says the Proverbs, shall bring him low, but honour shall uphold the humble in spirit, as was Esther. How true, brethren and sisters, for the king granted the Jews to gather and to stand for their lives against all that would fight against them, and all that pertained unto Esther, and all that pertained unto Haman, did the king give unto Esther, as such will be the lot of the faithful in the kingdom of God. When the faithful shall enjoy the pleasure of this wonderful earth, when the wealth of the nations shall be brought to the Lord Jesus Christ and the saints, that they might enjoy the pleasure in that glorious age. And Mordecai, typical of the Lord Jesus Christ, went from the king in royal apparel of blue, white, and a crown of gold, and with a garment of fine linen and purple. And the king gave the ring which he had given to Haman and to Mordecai, and the city of Shushan rejoiced and was glad, as will the city of Jerusalem when the Lord Jesus Christ is honoured when he returns. Our time is gone, brothers and sisters, and here we must leave Esther, she whose faith was such she was prepared to perish with her people in performing her duty. Turn with Esther chapter 8 and verse 5. And said, if it pleased the king, she said to the king, and if I have found favour in thy sight, and the thing seem right before the king, and I be pleasing in his eyes, let it be written, to reverse the letters devised by Haman the son of Hammedatha the Agagite, which he wrote to destroy the Jews which are in the king's provinces. For how can I endure to see the evil that shall come upon my people? Or how can I endure to see the destruction of my kindred? Then the king Ahasuerus said unto Esther the queen, and to Mordecai the Jew, behold, I have given Esther the house of Haman, and him they have hanged upon the gallows, because he laid his hand upon the Jews. Write ye also for the Jews as it liketh you, in the king's name, and seal it with the king's ring, for the writing which is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's ring may no man reverse. What a joyful time it will be for the Jews in that day when they will be gathered and blessed by the king. Mordecai, we read, was promoted next unto the king. The Lord Jesus Christ shall rule in the kingdom, in the known world, for Yahweh. And he will be great among the Jews. They will recognize that he is the Christ. And he will be accepted with the multitude of his brethren. And he will seek the wealth of his people. And he will speak peace to all his seed, as Joseph did when they came out of Egypt. Joseph spoke peace to his brethren, and Christ shall speak peace to the Jews. What a wonderful time there will be. And we will conclude with a word from the Apocalypse. Apocalypse chapter 8 and verse 12. As we conclude, speaking on the character of that wonderful type of the Bride of Christ. Chapter 8 and verse 12. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars. So as the sun, a third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. I've got the wrong chapter here, sorry. Whatever I've gone and done wrong here. But it's speaking of the glorious time of which it's to come. But we think, we go to verse 9, which is the same principle as what I was looking for. Chapter 5 and verse 9. And they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereon, for thou hast was slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God's kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000s of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain, to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb, for ever and ever. And the Lord Jesus Christ shall be glorified in that day with his saints. And verse 7, and chapter 7 and verse 14 we read, And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them to living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. What a glorious time for that Bride of Christ when the Lord Jesus Christ returns.